This is Twit.
Hey, so everybody who wants to go to the Amazon store, you actually can. The retail giant has announced plans to open its first brick-and-mortar store. This is at least according to sources speaking to the Wall Street Journal. The store is reportedly set to open in time for the holiday shopping season. It'll be adjacent to the Empire State Building in New York City. It's a pretty good retail spot. And is sort of an experiment by Amazon not only to connect with customers in real life, but offer the instant availability of goods in a traditional store. The Amazon store would be kind of more of a warehouse than a true shop, with limited inventory for same-day delivery within New York, product returns and exchanges, and pickups of online orders. The journal also reports that Amazon may use the space to showcase devices like Kindle e-readers, Fire smartphones, or Fire TV set-top boxes. Earlier today in London, Lenovo announced three new devices, a new convertible yoga laptop, and two new yoga tablet models. Let's start with the tablets. The Yoga Tablet 2 Pro is 13.3 inches, has 32 gigabytes of space, runs Android, has a built-in projector that can beam 16:9 high-resolution images or movies directly onto a wall or a screen of some kind, an integrated 8-watt sound system, and even a subwoofer. The Yoga 2 Pro also has a 2560 by 1440 screen. That's actually quad HD. 8-megapixel rear camera, offers 15 hours of battery life and more. Suggested retail price is $499, and 4G will be an optional extra, at least in certain markets. The lower-end Yoga Tablet 2, not the 2 Pro, the Tablet 2. Yeah, I got that right. Ships in 8 inches or 10-inch models and will run either Android for $299 or Windows for $399. Lenovo is also introducing a fourth holding mode beyond hold or tilt or stand. It's kind of what the yoga line is known for. This one is called Hang, as in hang your yoga tablet on a platform to display content. What can't it do? Finally, the third in what was announced today, the 13-inch Yoga 3 Pro joins Lenovo's existing line of convertible laptops. It also has that quad HD screen, 3200 by 1800 Gorilla Glass screen, and an Intel Core M processor. It's priced at $1,349 and comes in Clementine Orange, Platinum Silver, or Champagne Gold. Everybody loves gold these days. The Yoga 3 Pro promises 19 hours. No, not 19. 9. That didn't sound right in my head. Hours of battery life, and is expected to go on sale later in October. Activist investor Carl Icahn wrote an open letter to Apple and Apple CEO Tim Cook, asking Apple to accelerate its stock repurchase because he thinks the stock is undervalued and about to grow exponentially, and that Apple should be buying now. Well, Apple has replied. The company said, quote, "We always appreciate hearing from our shareholders. Since 2013, we've been aggressively executing the largest capital return program in corporate history. And we've said before, we will review the program annually and take into account the input from all our shareholders." Apple included a table, sort of a little graph here, which shows that Apple has been aggressive with its share buyback program, returning $74 billion to shareholders, and plans to return $130 billion to shareholders by the end of next year. Speaking of Apple, the company has confirmed its iPad event. Well, it's confirmed an event. Everyone knows it's going to be the iPad event next Thursday, October 16th. But sources tell the Wall Street Journal that suppliers have pushed back plans to mass produce a larger screen tablet to early next year from the beginning of December. Why? Because apparently the supply chain is tied up with new iPhones that are high enough in demand that, well, the companies just don't have time to do both. The output of the 5.5-inch iPhone 6 Plus remains unsatisfactory. That's according to one person at a supplier. And that it would be challenging for display makers to split resources and spend a few months to wrap up production for new larger screen iPads now. Suppliers in Asia say that Apple's larger tablet will likely have a 12.9-inch liquid crystal display screen with resolution that's similar to the iPad Air. That's the 9.7-inch model that was unveiled in October of last year. So we are ripe for something new, but I don't know if we're going to get it for the holidays. Unit sales of iPads have fallen for two straight quarters, while revenue for tablets has fallen on a year-to-year basis for four of the five past quarters. Watch out, iPhone 6 Plus. You're looking kind of small. The Wall Street Journal is also reporting, they're really on a roll today, that Google will release its largest ever smartphone this month. This is according to three people familiar with the situation. The new phone is apparently codenamed Shamu, you know, like the killer whale, because it's such a big phone. And will have a 5.9-inch screen, a high-resolution display, and be sold under the Nexus brand. Interestingly enough, Motorola Mobility, which is the phone maker that Google is selling to Lenovo, is reportedly manufacturing the phone. Google declined to comment. In 2011, phablets, that's this category of large phone that's can't put in any pant pockets, accounted for about 1% of global smartphone shipments. Not very much. This year, the bigger phones will make up 24% of the market, according to consultants at Strategy Analytics. It's just the way things are going. Thanks, Asia. Security software maker Symantec has announced it's splitting into two companies after a decade-long expansion effort. In a statement, the company explains that its cybersecurity and data storage divisions would become separately publicly traded companies. This should make analysts and investors happy, some of whom have kind of vocally wanted a breakup of the company, which has a market capitalization of $16.2 billion, but whose stock price was being hurt by fusing the high-margin security business with a less profitable storage division. Symantec joins Hewlett-Packard and eBay as the latest large tech company to plan a breakup. eBay said on September 30th that it would spin off its PayPal payments unit from its marketplace business. And HP said earlier this week that it would split its personal computer and printers businesses into a separate entity from the corporate hardware and services business. It's all the rage. Got to split your company if you're old. Did Google infringe on Oracle copyright by using Oracle-owned Java APIs in the operating system Android without permission? You know the story. The Oracle versus Google legal case has been dragging on for years with no resolution, but it may be wrapping up as Google has now filed a petition for the U.S. Supreme Court to make a final ruling. Google's argued that the APIs are just a means of working with systems and they shouldn't be copyrighted. Oracle says that its code is an original copyrightable work. Can't come to an agreement on that. After Google won the case in a lower court, an appeals court partially overturned the ruling. That was actually quite controversial. And if the Supreme Court declines to hear the case, then that ruling will stand. Google argues that much of modern tech really has been built around the idea that APIs, those allow programs to communicate across platforms, are openly available. And an Oracle victory could set a precedent that opens the door to other lawsuits. Either way, a response from the court is due on November 7th.